I welcome you to join me in the reading of God's Holy Word, first as we find it in Psalm 14, reading there the first four verses, and then reading the last five verses of Romans chapter 1. Romans, or Psalms rather, 14, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? And then from Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Shall we pray that God will humble us through these words and teach us from them? Our Father, we give thanks for this word, for all of thy word, from both the words that were written by the psalmist and these by the Apostle Paul, they who were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these things in truth, to show us, Father, how thou dost look down from heaven upon us and how we are seen in thy sight. We pray now, Father, as we consider these words and the description of our sin, that we might receive these words rightly, that our hearts might be opened by thy Spirit. And, Father, we give thanks as we read them that this is not the only message from the Scriptures, but that we have also the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and a message, Father, that each and every one of us can believe and have, and through which we can also have eternal life if we but believe on thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name now for the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us into all truth. We pray for those, Father, that have special needs. We pray that they might know thy mercy. We pray that the efforts of those who help them may be blessed, and above all, that they might hear the gospel, that they may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that shall proceed from thy mouth. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. As we continue in studying Paul's letter to the church at Rome, we see a very dire message. And sadly, it is not just true of a certain percentage of humankind. In one way, it is. There are those who, when they hear God's word or when they see God in nature, do not want to learn more of him and do not want to bow before him in repentance, that they go from hardness to even being harder, that they go from, as we sometimes state, bad to worse. There are also those who, reading these words, humble themselves, as we can read of many in Scripture. We think of King Josiah, who in the time of when Jeremiah was prophet, heard the word read, and he rent his clothes, and he said, "Great is the wrath of the Lord upon us." And in his humbling, God took note, and the judgments that their sins would certainly merit were postponed till after he died. They were certainly there in Judah later. We think of the Apostle Paul who wrote this, who sinned in persecuting the church, who was in pride in his self-righteousness and being a Jewish religionist. But when he heard the word of God, that also we read here about coveting, he said, I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And he then confessed, and I died. He died to all his false hopes. He saw he was one that had earned the wages of sin, which is death. And in so doing, he received forgiveness. He could in prayer have his sins washed away. And not only that he then became a believer, but he was also a preacher of this wonderful gospel, and now a writer of this letter to the church at Rome. Last week we looked at some of the words in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Much comes under those headings. Unrighteousness covers many, many things. It is the opposite of being righteous. We stand in unrighteousness, we stand under God's wrath. When we read of fornication, we think of the sin, the sexual sins of the unmarried. When we think of those under the marriage bond, we think of adultery. But when we think of it in those who are not married, it is called fornication. Then we read of wickedness. Again, there could much come under that heading. We think of wickedness in our individual lives, wickedness in the homes that causes many of them to be broken, all manner of wickedness, pride, hatred, bitterness, drunkenness, covetousness. All these different reasons lead to divorce and separation, and homes that are broken, or homes that are sometimes a scene of war, husbands against wives and wives against husbands, children being the victims. Today, I want to begin with the word covetousness. Sometimes we might think that is less harmless or less of a sin than some of the other things. It is not seen openly like drunkenness or stealing or murder or fornication. But covetousness is there against God and before God. It is probably as much against God as any one of these other sins. It is being dissatisfied with what God has given us, dissatisfied with where He has placed us. It is wanting something else than what we have, or more than we need. It could also be called greediness, wanting these things that we want in the flesh, that are of the world and from the world. It is true that the word could also be used in a right sense of, as Paul said to another church, coveting the best gifts, wanting those things that God wants us to do and to have. But in the main, it is thought of as a fleshly sin and catering to our flesh, wanting from the world that which we do not really need. Here, we just have it listed. If we look at Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, it is listed with those sins of which God said, such shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We can read that in 1 Corinthians Chapter 6. So it is a very deadly sin. If we live in that attitude, if we are in such greediness, if we live and die in that, we will not go to heaven, no matter what we may say. There is forgiveness from God through Christ, but there must also be then change. We are called to repentance. And certainly that is part of the message that the Lord Jesus commanded to be preached. On the day of his resurrection, He gave those directions to his apostles, stating that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations. He himself began with the message of repent and believe the gospel. Though, as I said in the last message, this list here of sins is not given in the same way as we have in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It is rather here a description of those who have gone far into sin, even so far, in such a terrible place, as we read from verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It would be like one who was warned not to go into a lake or a sea or an ocean in times of danger, and then ran in and was sucked in the undertow and was drowning. That's what we have here. People drowning in their sin, given over to hardness of heart. And when God gives us over to a reprobate mind, we only have the devil to lead us and to take us captive and to pull us into these sins and to take us eternally to hell. Listen to the last verse of this chapter. Who, knowing the judgment of God that they commit such things, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Paul is here certainly writing to the church, but he's also describing those outside of the church and those who want nothing to do with the church, who want nothing to do more particularly with God, God their Creator, God the Lawgiver. A number of times we read how they did not want to retain God, or they did not want to keep God in their thoughts. We could see that already in Paul's earlier statement in this chapter, where he shows that they are without excuse and God can be seen in nature. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. We think of some sinners who hear the Word of God and repent and come back to God, coming through Christ. There are other sinners who, when they hear of God or recognize God in nature, they run away from Him and go further and further into sin. And that's the picture we have here, a terrible picture. Listing these people, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and then filled with all these sins. Yes, we can read of some in Scripture who were filled with the Holy Spirit, some who were filled with love, some who had great faith. What a wonderful blessing, a blessing of God for time and for eternity. Here, these people are under a terrible curse, filled with unrighteousness, filled with fornication, filled with wickedness, filled with covetousness. Then we have maliciousness, its churlishness, stubbornness, very close to the same as wickedness and unrighteousness. But God gives a number of words to describe all of these attitudes, these terrible ways. And they are terrible. They lead to death. After he states of maliciousness, he says, full of envy. Again, very close to covetousness, envy, thinking of what others have, much the same as jealousy, and not only wanting what others have, but not wanting others to have what they do have, envying them, wanting to pull them down, wanting them to lose their blessings. What a terrible thing, and how opposite of what God commands us to do. To love which thinketh no evil. hear envy, only thinks evil against our neighbor. Then we have murder. Often envy leads to murder. It can and does. This is why we should be careful for the secret sins, because they lead to the open sins. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, and then murder. Killing our neighbor. Shedding blood. That of which God said, "Thou shalt not kill." There are many nations that this is thought of lightly. And once again, I would mention, as I have mentioned recently, that sin of abortion, that is also murder. We might not identify it directly with envy or with covetousness, though some people would covet a free life rather than the responsibilities of being parents. But it is especially connected, I think, with the words in the 31st verse, in the middle of that verse, without natural affection. Murder is coldness. Murder is hardness. Natural affection is soft, loving, caring, kind. Murder is the opposite. Oh, what sins we have here that God describes. And as we read from Psalm 14, the Lord looks down from heaven to try the sons of men, to see if there be any that do good. There are those that He changes and those that He can make do good. And I'm not ashamed to say, make do good. Some people want to bring God down where He's trying and can't do anything unless man lets Him. God is God. God is over all mankind. God can not only give the sentence of death and hell, but God can give salvation. Think of the words that we sang. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to Him glory and render Him honor. In beauty of holiness, worship the Lord. Those are the words that are put to verse in music from Psalm 29. That is the God of the Bible. That is the God that is here speaking when He speaks through Paul. That is the God that also gave the words to Paul, both for His own blessing and benefit and for the good of others. When early in this chapter we read, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Yes, we have a very, very sad description of sins here and of sinners, terrible sinners. But God can pluck them as brands from the burning. Just think of the thief on the cross. He Himself knew, as He said, "We hang here justly." He was guilty of such sins as we have described here. And He went all the way to the end of His life and then was nailed to the cross. He received what we read, "Who knowing the judgment of God that they commit such things are worthy of death and only do the same." Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that thief recognized his sin just in time. And he bowed to the one on the cross next to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he declared not only that He hung there justly, but he said, "Of Christ, this man have done nothing amiss." He was the perfect Savior dying for others and dying for that thief. Dying for such as are here spoken of. But remember, there was another thief and a murderer who hung on the other cross, who was just like this and stayed in his hardness and died in that state. He mocking, and then was reproved by the second thief or the second murderer. That's the difference. That divides the world. Christ divides the world, not the good and the bad. We're all sinners. We all deserve to die like that person on the cross who knew it. Not only do we have this description of sin, but listen to the first verse of the next chapter, chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for in thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. I was reading today a little story I had received a few years ago of a girl that told her parents she was pregnant and then told them that she had first an abortion and then later said she didn't. And her parents were very aghast. But when they thought about her pregnancy, they said, well, abortion is wrong, but it may be the best for us, because they were Christians and they did not want to spoil their name. They wanted to appear good when they were evil, when they were just like this list here, fornication, murder, but didn't want anybody to know it. The girl was very surprised when her parents wanted to go in that direction. There is hypocrisy, not only in the world, but in the church. There was hypocrisy amongst the Jews, to whom Paul wrote this second chapter particularly, stating as he did, verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast in God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed of the law. But then further he said, verse 23, thou makest thy boast of the law, and through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. Yes, when God looks down, he sees us all as sinners. He certainly sees some who tried to wash the outside the cup. There are some who put on the veneer. There are some whom Christ described as the whited sepulchres. And then there are the open, hard-hearted sinners. But they're all before God. God knows you. He knows me. He knows exactly where we stand. He knows if we are like the one thief on the cross or the other. Both wicked, but one repentant. One going on to his death in hardness, like we read here in this first chapter, these last verses. It is terrible. Listen as Paul describes other sins in the last part of this 29th verse. Debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. All of this awful, awful sin. Debate, we want to argue. Further in the third chapter, we will read where that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. We often want to debate the issues. We often want to have our viewpoint. We want our say. And that's especially true in this generation. We are becoming more and more like that. The next verse, as we'll see more in the next message, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We are disobedient to authority, and especially to the authority of God's Word. Oh, let's bow to it, all of us, preachers, church members, all the people in the world, those in heathen religions. We all need to come together before the one God and come back to Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.